Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and State Golf Representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. G'day, Soph. How exciting is this? We're going to spend the next half hour talking about a sport that you and I are absolutely passionate about, golf. I'm excited. I imagine you are as well.
Oh, I'm so excited, Hookie. Finally, something that I can talk about for 30 minutes after my monologue last week. I'm glad you finally came around.
Yeah, we figured with how long you spoke on golf last week, we should just call the whole thing golf and be done with it. Now, I'm really thrilled about this. So we have made a decision over the summer months that we're going to narrow our focus a little bit. We're going to spend, well, pretty much every second week talking about golf and every second week talking about cricket. We've made a conscious decision to do that because we really want to focus in on the sports that we are not only passionate about, but I guess we've got some expertise in. You certainly as a star player, me as someone who has followed the game for a long time. And we just feel like if you're interested in the NBL or softball or baseball or something like that, you'll go and listen to some people who are perhaps a little bit more across those types of sports. But certainly you, Sophie Hilditch, a genuine expert on golf. So I'm looking forward to all of your opinions over the coming weeks.
Let's go straight into it, Ben, and we're going to shake things up even more, and we're going to start with Ben's best at the top of the show.
Easy one for me, Soph. Nick Wake. I've been dying to talk about this guy. Glenelg golfer. I've played a little bit with him in the Golf SA versus ADF matches that have gone on over the last 11, 12 years now. Nick Wake, he's a senior. I'm not going to give away his age, but he is... Well, let's just say he's north of 60. He's won the Glenelg Club Championship on the weekend, beat an absolute star called Cade Bryant. Cade's probably in the top five golfers, amateur players in South Australia right now. And Nick Wake has taken him down over 36 holes at Glenelg, won one up. So one for the older guys, Soph. I'm pretty pumped with Nick Wake. He's Ben's best for this week. What about Sophie Starr?
Well, Hookie, this was an easy one for me too. And I'm actually jumping across the airport and going all the way over to Cooyonga Golf Club, where Matilda Miles has just won the Cooyonga Club Championship for the women for the sixth consecutive time. Unbelievable, against Mia Louie, up and coming junior. Ben, I've only won my club champs three times. So I don't know how she's done it six times in a row.
I knew you'd managed to get your own form in there. So congratulations once again. Oh, that's going to be a regular feature of Hooked on Sport, the golf show. No doubt in my mind. Hey, big news over the course of the weekend, Soph, was Wade Ormsby, South Australia's own, has won the Jakarta International at the Damai Indah Golf Club there in Jakarta. He survived a playoff against Zimbabwean Scott Vincent after they both finished at 12 under. Now, Wade, I was watching this, made a clutch 10-footer for par on the 72nd hole to get it into extra holes. Then a par was good enough on the first playoff hole after Vincent blew it right and put it into the water on approach. So it was a really tough last day out there, Soph. It was windy. The course was firm. You could see the greens were getting that real crusty feel to them. And the pins on the last two holes were kind of outrageous. There was water all down the right-hand side of the green on both of them. And both times the pin looked so far right, they were almost in the water, you know. So Wade played quite conservatively, only one under in the final round, par 70 course. So he shot 69. So at 11 under after 54 holes, 12 under was enough to get it into the playoff. And then just did everything right in the playoff hole, found the fairway, found the middle of the green, two putts was enough. So very pleased for Wade Ormsby, who I know is a good mate of yours and a good mate of mine as well. He's back in the running for a live spot now as well. So who knows, could be back on the live tour in 2026.
Yeah, he well and truly showed off his putting skills in this recent tournament. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to see him back at Grange for the live in Adelaide. Now, I want to take you to a friend of the pod, Adelaide's teenager, Reagan Denton. Now, we actually did interview her and we spoke about this recent tournament, but she finished one over at T35 at the World Amateur Teams Championship Esperado Santo Trophy. She was behind teammate Ella Scaisbrook at T18 and ahead of Jazzy Roberts at T39, both of these players having way more experience in national team events. Reagan finished strong in her final round of an eagle on the par 4 ninth hole, So incredibly proud of her. She helped Australia finish 13th in this team's event.
Not going to say anything about how you're her captain. Just get yourself into the story once again, Soph.
No, once enough on this show. I think it's fine, Hookie.
We just should touch on the fallout of the Ryder Cup, Soph, where the PGA of America, probably a little bit too little too late, but has finally apologised for the way they sort of fanned the flames of the crowd misbehaviour over the course of those 3 days. So there was a letter that came out from the president of the PGA of America, Don Ray Jr., who said, "Let me begin with what we must own. While the competition was spirited, especially with the US team's rally on Sunday afternoon, some fan behaviour clearly crossed the line. It was disrespectful, inappropriate, and not representative of who we are at the PGA of America or as PGA of America golf professionals. We condemn that behaviour unequivocally." What did you make of it, Soph? Too little, too late, or he finally got where he needed to?
Look, I'm glad they finally got to it, Hookie, but I've got to admit, Thursday, this event finished on Sunday. It's a bit little too late for me. I don't think it was that hard to craft a statement saying how appalled they were at New York. I mean, there was no reason why they couldn't actually release that statement in the middle of the tournament, if you want my real honest opinion.
Hey, who would you think about as the captain for the American team as they head to Adair Manor in Ireland in 2027? All the talk is Tiger Woods. So if we ruled him out, took him off the table, who do you think would be the right person for that job?
Yeah, look, Tiger Woods is the name that really does come to mind. But actually, he doesn't have a great Ryder Cup career. And I really don't think he wants it. He's obviously an amazing individual player, the best there's ever been. But I'm leaning to someone like Jim Furyk. He's actually captained already in 2018 away, obviously wasn't successful. He's vice-captained multiple times, including our latest Ryder Cup. He's represented in 9 consecutive Ryder Cups. He's won 10, lost 20, and halved 4. But this is actually the 5th of US all-time on the points list. So I think Jim Furyk, he's been vice-captaining. He's been waiting his turn, and I actually think he might be able to help change the culture of the US team.
Fair enough, Soph. I'm of a similar thought. I think Webb Simpson would be the kind of guy who... His playing career is really over. He's a major winner. He's a deep thinker about the game. And I feel like he's someone who will embrace a battle plan more so than even someone like Tiger Woods. So it just strikes me as someone that they put up the top as this figurehead who they think will just miraculously be able to make 12 players play better than what they actually can. So, yeah, Webb Simpson, someone that I'd like to see. Jim Furyk, another attempt would be absolutely excellent. Let's just cross over into some of the results that have gone on around the world over the course of the weekend. I want to start with the Alfred Dunhill Lynx Championship. Was won by fella after my own heart, the left-hander Bobby McIntyre, who's carrying a few extra pounds. That sounds like me, left-hander with a few extra pounds. Shot 18 under over the course of 3 rounds. They play at Carnoustie, the old course, and at King's Barnes, all on the east coast of Scotland there. So won by 2 strokes from Tyrrell Hatton. I've got to say, Matt Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood also played in this event a week after playing on the Ryder Cup over in the US. So great that those guys could front up and contend. It's a massive win for Bob McIntyre. It's a really serious event, the Alfred Dunhill Lynx. Played as a pro-am type event, but it's a really serious event for a pro to win. That's why it gets such a good field. And also back in the US, the PGA Tour event was the Sanderson Farms. It was played at the Country Club of Jackson in Mississippi. It was won by a rookie, Stephen Fisk, who shot 24 under to win by 2 from Garrick Higo. We're in a really flat part of the season in the American Tour, their fall season at the moment. They don't have a significant amount of top liners going around at this time of year. But that's what's happened in the men's tours. What happened in the women's tour over the weekend?
Well, the ALPGA had the Lott Championship, which is actually unusually played over Wednesday through to Saturday. And we had Korean Yumin Hwang taking the win over a one-shot lead over her fellow countrywoman, Kim Hyo Chu. And Nelly Korda actually finished T4, 3 shots behind the leader, Ben. But she's actually just announced that she's not playing for the rest of the year due to injury, which is an interesting one, calling it after finishing T4. It's one to watch out for, I think.
Talk about an injury, Soph. How are you going over there? Sounds like you've got a bit of an injury to the voice, mate.
Yeah, well, I think this is a Sydney long weekend injury, so I apologize. This is self-inflicted.
Still going on. This is the holiday that just keeps on giving. So, if not only did you burn a massive hole in the budget, you've also blown the voice out as well.
Well, I actually tried to play golf over the weekend, and one of them happened to be a foundation day for my club, and there was too much talking, and again, maybe too many wines again. So it really was self-inflicted.
You've gone back to back. We even had to put our chat back one night. It's nice to know that you could make it, even though you're a little bit worse for the wear. Talk about local golf. Let's just spend a bit of time focusing in on all of the main stories that have gone on around South Australian golf over the course of the last week. I'm very excited to note that after 4 years of a redevelopment, it's been a complete overhaul at the Glenelg Golf Club. It'll be ready for play in about 6 weeks' time, Soph. Ryan van der Veen has overseen the work. These were designs by Neil Crafter in consultation, I beg your pardon, with Bob Toohey. If you know anything about golf in South Australia, Neil Crafter and Bob Toohey are two of the biggest names of the lot, both in the SA Golf Hall of Fame. They've added 45 metres to the championship tees, and Glenelg was long off the black tees anyway. The red course, which is traditionally for women members, if you like, it's 45 metres shorter, but it's been reduced from a par 74 to a par 73. So the eighth hole, I think it was, Soph, that the women played as a par 5, that'll now be played as a par 4 from a tee a little bit further around to the left. They've completely redone all 18 holes. It's taken 4 years to do it. I'm really excited to see it myself. I think the question's going to be, Soph, and this is a bit of a superficial thinking line of thinking, but can it chase down Cooyonga in the Australian golf course rankings? Cooyonga's been, a steady improver over the last 5 to 10 years. They've sort of gone from mid-20s up into the high teens, and Glenelg is sort of around that high 20s mark. Going to be interesting to see if they can rival Cooyonga, which, as I said, has advanced in its own right.
Very interesting point, Hookie, and one that might upset some people listening to this. I don't think they like to hear that across the airport. I don't think they want anyone chasing them down. And they will be hosting Cooyonga, the Australian Open, coming up next year. So, look, it's a standout course. But Glenelg's changes, I got to admit, Hookie, last time I saw them, they were looking brilliant. They've done some really big works, particularly on the back nine, making it way more linksy. And I was actually loving it. I didn't get to play it, unfortunately. I actually had to caddy that pennant event, but I loved every moment walking around that course.
Yeah, absolutely, Soph. And I'll tell you what we are going to do. Rob Vincikovic is the general manager at Glenelg, and we'll make an effort to get out there, have a look around, and we'll bring him on the pod and have a chat about everything that's going on when they finally do open it fully for play, because that will be, it's a real statement in South Australian golf that Glenelg has gone through all of this and come out the other side.
Yeah, it's been a long haul, Hookie, so I'd love to have him on the pod and love to have a chat. Now I'm going to take you over to Royal Adelaide. Brian Slawnick has actually been overseeing works at RA to both the 17th and the 18th hole. 17th is changing from an enormously wide fairway with four centre bunkers to a dogleg right, with those bunkers forming the right-hand side. Now, it actually weirdly looks like the original 17th from back in the day. I recently saw a newspaper article from the 2006 Aussie Open about how the players used to play that, and they actually used to play it as a par 4 dogleg right. So I'm looking forward to these new changes, and I'm sure it's actually going to be a pretty difficult finish to the 17th and to the course. You normally stand on that tee thinking, well, I can aim straight up at the bunkers, and if I slice it and I hook it, I'm actually going to be fine. But this is going to be a tough tee shot. Now, talking about tough, they've actually moved the 18th tee forward, which you'd think would make it a bit easier, right? And actually, from the 18th tee now, we'll be able to see the Royal Adelaide clubhouse. And instead of looking at like a bit like a dogleg left, it's going to look like a straighter hole. And I've heard they're actually doing some works to the green, but they might not happen this year. It might be next year when Brian's back in town.
Yeah, so that'll be really exciting for Royal Adelaide. Gee, they've redone the 17th, what, 4 or 5 times in the last 25 years? So hopefully they can get that bunker down, but certainly bringing back that dog leg is a bit of a throwback to yesteryear. It was a par 5 with a big long dog leg in the past. So a par four now, it's going to play tough off the back tees. Just while we're talking about 18th holes, Mount Osmond is doing a major overhaul of its 18th hole as well. I really like the 18th hole, actually. I think Mount Osmond, for a course that is hilly and a little bit of an awkward parcel of land, they've done a really good job with that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the 18th hole as well. So if just while we're talking about golf design, the Turf Management South Australia organisation has nominated its five finalists for the prestigious Excellence in Turf Management Award. Some of the big names from golf course management around South Australia: Nathan Bennett at Your Club, Royal Adelaide; Ben Hallam from Tea Tree Gully; Aaron Kelly at the Vines. We're going to talk about the Vines a little bit later on. Simon Prosser from Aston Hills at Mount Barker, and Sam Smith from Wollunga. Now, you would say, in isolation, it has to be Nathan Bennett because he's at Royal Adelaide and Royal Adelaide's the best course. But this is designed to be an award that determines who's doing the best with what they've got. And certainly Sam Smith at Wollunga, which is an amazing course. I really enjoy playing there. Simon Prosser at Aston Hills is doing a wonderful job, as is Ben Hallam and Aaron Kelly as well. So we'll find out that on November 1, Soph, which is the Golf SA Awards night. And I hear that you're their guest speaker there. You're their draw card.
Yep, they're going to have to put up with me at the start of the show. I think they're putting up with the both of us. So best luck to everyone watching that show. It's sure to be an event, sure to be maybe a couple of arguments on stage. And I don't know how we're going to go with that without our producer standing right next to us.
I promise you, if Wallace isn't there, I'm just going to agree with everything you say. So, hey, just very quickly, lovely little course that I really like. Marion Park has rebadged itself as Seacliff. So this is run by the City of Marion, the council. It's just up near Merino there. The club and pro shop looks amazing. They've done some course enhancements as well. So want to congratulate everyone involved in the new Seacliff Golf Club. That'll be another place we'll have to go and visit. So if I know you don't normally venture away from the tier ones of the Sandbelt, but I'll just bring you down to my level once or twice, and Seacliff's the place we'll have to go and see. Good mate of mine, Travis Wakeling, involved there. So we'll pop in there at some point. Hey, there is a big name in the competition that you play, the Sanderson Cup, who was honoured by her club in the last week or so. Tell us about that.
Yeah, massive name. You know I love my pennant, and we're actually only about 4 to 5 months out of the pennant season. So I have to give a shout out to Grange's Louise Glennon. She's just been honoured for 100 pennant matches at Grange. Just a huge effort. She's a great competitor, a fierce competitor. I actually remember only playing her about a year ago down at South Lakes. The wind was fierce, and God, it was a battle, and it was really well fought out. But just with such great gamesmanship, Louise Glennon, 100 games, what an honour.
Yeah, she's part of the selection panel for the pennant teams of the year, and she is such an asset with that group, especially someone who plays it. She sees people like you, Soph. She sees Reagan, Imogen, you know, all of these young rising stars, Matilda as well, who you identified earlier as Sophie Starr. So it's just great to have her expert opinion in a job like that, trying to select the teams of the year. We talked about Aaron Kelly, who was the head groundsman at the Vines, one of the nominees for the Excellence in Turf Management Award. So for the fact that you and I have both played it recently, I thought it would be worth just spending a couple of minutes with the spotlight on the Vines Golf Club of Ranelagh. Lovely place to play. If you live down south, it is one of the feature courses down there. Just a couple of details on it. Simon Hoey is the current president of the club. Jenny Hurst is the vice president. The general manager is Braden Wockhope, who comes from a golfing background. He was a professional at Grange and then at Sandy Creek. So the fact that he's the GM coming from a golf background now, you know that he is going to be driving the golfing part of a golf club, which is just so important. It's a par 71 course, 6,031 metres off the back tee. It's a par 72 off the red tees. They're known as red tees these days, even though traditionally probably best known as the women's tees, and that's a 5,186 metre course. Sophie, you were there. You played a couple of rounds there for the SA Amateur Championship only a couple of weeks ago now. What do you like about it the most?
Look, Hooky, I think I've got to say it's the par threes at the Vines for me. They're all hard. They're all great. It's a great mix of long par threes and short par threes with really tricky greens on them, protected a lot of them by bunkers, and really smart bunkering, actually. But, Hooky, my favourite thing about the course, and I know it's a bit weird to mention it, but it's actually the membership base. And this is where I really think a course can be made and broken. Their membership base, particularly when I was playing a national amateur event, was all out volunteering and supporting. And I would love to be a member at the Vines. It's a beautiful club. They all get around it. They all respect their course and they have a deep love for their course.
Oh, well done, Soph. It's a great comment. I'm a big fan of the par threes as well, but I've got to say, as someone who loves playing golf a little bit more socially than you, I don't quite have the talent or play in those highfalutin fancy events. So I just really love what they've done with the routing at the Vine. So you're coming from that northwestern corner of the club. That's where the clubhouse is. And you would have thought that all of the course then spreads out. You can be a long way away from much of your round, but it's perfect for multi-tee starts. You've got the first, the third, the fourth, the 10th, the 11th, and the 13th. They're all within 150 metres of the clubhouse. So if you were having a round of golf where there was everyone together on the course in the afternoon, playing it as I reckon it'd be the perfect Ambrose corporate-type course. I reckon it's really well set up for that. Okay, that's what you like. Tell me what you don't like. Or what you'd like to see better?
Well, I don't know if it's something you can really fix, Hooky. But look, I'm just going to go, and maybe this is just because I was playing a tournament there recently, so maybe I'm having a bit of a gripe here. But look, it's a hills course, so there's a lot of slopes on those fairways, and I think often you can actually hit a pretty decent shot and end up just straight in the trees. Doesn't matter how good of a shot you hit. But the alternative, and I actually learnt it, is you can hit one of the most woeful shots and you can get a lucky little bounce off the Mr. Ricochet off the tree and end up bang in the middle of the fairway. So maybe it's a positive, maybe it's a negative. But look, that's probably the one thing that I'm often thinking about the Fines. It really does require a lot of shaping off the ball, off the tee, and a really careful planning around the course.
Yeah, I'd probably say one too many blind tee shots. I think if you think two's a bit blind, seven's blind, eight is blind, 12 is blind, and sometimes that can just be a little bit dangerous. I don't know what their solutions are, whether they try and build the tees up a little bit, but that's probably the one criticism I would have. And maybe, I certainly think 13, you'd have to be very careful with the way you pin that because it's just so slopey. I think the ball can get away with you without really hitting a bad putt. I had first-hand experience of that, Soph, so I've made that note. So that's probably just the one thing I would just question. I do know Ryan Vanderveen, who's done the work at Glenelg, is going to be starting some work at the Vines very shortly. So I think that'll be an interesting watch over the course of the next 2 years. Ryan Vanderveen's got a lovely subtle touch, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Your favourite hole at the Vines, Soph?
Look, I was going to go the 13th because I know you had some difficulty there and I actually birdied that one. I think you might have had a scramble game and made eight. Was it eight?
Seven.
Apologies. Seven. But I have decided not to go 13. I've actually gone the ninth hole, Hooky. I think it's a beautiful hole. It's a dogleg to the right, par four. It's a bit of a risk-reward hole off the tee. You can take your driver, hit a high cut straight over it, and you've only got a short wedge into a pretty difficult green. Or you can actually lay up into the corner and have about 150 metres in. The green is what I find really, really interesting about it. Actually looking at it, it looks quite, well, it actually feels almost flat, but there's some really small breaks in this green, and that's what I love about it. It's tricky.
Good choice, Soph.
How about
you? I'm going for the par five fifth. I love a par five that challenges the layup. So there are a lot of holes that I think you can lay up really easily. There's no real danger. And then it becomes a relatively straightforward par. But this is one of those ones that if you choose to lay up, you've got this huge elevation drop down into the absolute bottom of this valley, forces you into a choice between what you don't want to do is lay up and then have this very difficult third shot, or go for a green in two where there's a huge drop off on the right hand side and there's treachery everywhere. So I just love the way that makes you think, forces you into making a decision that you don't really want to make. I think that's the epitome of a good par five. And that's what I reckon the fifth at the Vines, the par fifth, absolutely is. What do you reckon, Soph? Worth playing if someone's listening, they haven't been down there for a while?
100% worth playing, Hooky. It's actually one of my favorite hills courses. I absolutely love it. Like you said, the course layout's brilliant. It's very good for beginner as well. There's a lot of greens that you can run the ball up. So for a lot of beginners out there, the Vines is a good starting place, but also it's got its challenges for the better golfer. There's a lot of birdies out there, but I can trust you now. And as you've learnt, Hooky, a lot of triple bogeys out there as well.
Only a double bogey. It was a par
only
five.
A
safe,
but, sorry, well, can't count.
I tell you what, I'm never telling you anything off air ever again. A lot of good players at the Vines as well. They've got an excellent Simpson Cup team. So, and you know what? Mm-hmm. Golf is getting more and more expensive all around the place. $70, I reckon it is, to play a midweek round at the Vines. I reckon that is absolutely excellent shopping. So I recommend, if you're thinking about a round of golf and you're looking for a place to play, the Vines is a spot that you should absolutely consider. So one of the things we want to be able to do with this podcast is allow people to improve their own game of golf. We are going to think about how we can incorporate, I guess, some technology into the podcast and just what's going on at the absolute top level of technology and the modernization of the game. But the one thing that you do better than anyone is come up with creative little ways to improve your own game through practice. And I want you to give me a weekly practice hack. Sophie's practice hack. What are some of the clever little things that you do that you think improves your game? Give me one right now, please.
Well, I think we should just use this as like Hooky's podcast to try and get better at golf, not just a golfing podcast.
It's for me.
But
yeah.
Look, I...
Give me help.
Look, I want to be careful here. The worst thing you can do is overcomplicate the game of golf. And look, I don't have my PGA professional, so I'm not a professional. But look, my first tip in practice and in warm-up is actually super simple. It's getting an alignment stick or even just a club and lining up your feet. Alignment is so important in golf. If you're not aiming at your target and you're not aware that you're aiming at your target, you're starting minus one already. You're zero hope. So my tip to everyone is to have an alignment stick out there. Even when you're about to play around, if you aim at something, aim up your feet and you can just identify, you know, I'm hitting tiny little balls. Well, then for the rest of the round, you can play to those tiny little balls. But if you don't realize that that's where you're aiming, how are you meant to identify that?
Yep. I do need that one too, Soph, because I'm a regular non-user of the alignment stick. So that might be something I'm going to have to embrace in practice. Well, Soph, that sees us out for episode one of the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. We're going to try and keep these up every fortnight. We'll intersperse it with a cricket show. We're going to take it everywhere. We'll probably bring some industry people on board, some professional players. We're heading towards the Women's Australian Open. We might have a focus in and around that. We'll speak to some general managers, some professionals, as I said, some top amateurs, and we'll also try and get some GMs involved and just understand, bring the curtain down on the industry itself. So I'm really looking forward to all of that, Soph. Enjoyed it. Thanks for everything you've shared with us.
Yeah, that was absolutely great, Hooky. And just as a sign-off note as well, I just want our listeners to know that the WAPGA is actually getting played this weekend, and South Australian Jack Buchanan is the defending champ over there. So if you get a chance, have a look at it. It's played at Kalgoorlie. It's a beautiful course. It's green, surrounded by red sand, and it's a great watch.
Well done, Soph. Brilliant. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week for the Cricket Show.
Thanks, guys.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.